Well, good morning. When you think of a time that you were filled with joy, what comes to mind? When your child was born. Oh, that's a good one. Marriage and wedding. Oh, that's my wife saying that. That makes me feel good. She still looks at that day with joy, so that's a good thing, right? What else? What other times of joy? It doesn't have to be big events. It could be little things. Christmas. Sparkly snow, Billy says from the back. Okay? Christmas is also a time of joy, and that was one of the things that was said. And it's not because of the presents and even spending time with family and things like that, but Christmas should be a source of joy because of what happened on Christmas. Because Jesus, God himself, came down and became flesh, became one of us. It's called the incarnation. God taking our form as a human being, the divine coming, restricting himself to a human body, and now, in our age, dwelling inside of each one of us as believers. That's exciting. That should cause us great joy, and not just at Christmas, but all year round. Listen to the scriptures in Luke 1:39-45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word translated loud cry there is really literally a great shout. Okay, this is the same word that's used to people who are shouting back and forth in a quarrel or in a fight. Okay, this is not a quiet statement. Elizabeth isn't like, "Oh, blessed. It's not one of these solemn occasions where everyone's quiet and she's, "Bless you." She's excited. "Blessed are you among women. The Lord is with you. The child leaped in my womb." This is an exciting moment. She's ecstatic. "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy." Have you ever been so excited that you just can't contain your emotions? You know, you start talking really fast, you get louder and louder and louder till maybe you're shouting and you're screaming so loud because you're so excited about something. That's the excitement that Elizabeth had. The baby in her womb leaped for joy and she couldn't wait to tell someone about it. Elizabeth is the first person besides Joseph and Mary to be told about the coming Messiah. The coming Messiah that they had been waiting for thousands of years was coming and was in her presence right at that moment in Mary. Yet today we hear the Christmas story and we kind of just, it's Christmas. We've heard it. I mean, Pat and Gary, you guys have heard it a lot of times. Okay? We've heard it, right? We know about the angels, we know about the star, we know about the magi, and we've heard all the, where was Jesus actually born? Was it a cave? Was it a stable? We've heard the magi weren't really there at the birth, so we have to keep them separate on the nativity. We've heard all this, right? Okay, so we just kind of gloss over it, and we just forget about the excitement. This event changed human history. This event was life-changing for each one of us in this room and watching online. It's something to be excited for. It's the incarnation. It's the time Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's not just another event. In Genesis, we read that God created male and female in his image. And in his image, he created them. And so we are created in God's image. But the miracle of the incarnation is that God then turned around and took on our image and became a man and then eventually died on the cross for our sins. Imagine that for a moment. Really think about God becoming a man. But he didn't start as a man, did he? He started as a baby. Jesus was a baby in every way imaginable. When he was hungry, he cried. He didn't have some magic signal to tell Mary that he was hungry. He cried. When he was tired, he cried. He made messes. He slept. He nursed. He had to learn how to crawl. He had to learn how to walk. He was a baby in every sense of the word. He was not like a baby. He was a baby. And he did what babies do. And if you think about it, God, the God who created everything, the God of the universe, came as a baby. He indwelled a baby. Now think about the child, Jesus. He grew up with a father and a mother, Mary and Joseph, and he learned Joseph's craft. Joseph was a carpenter. Think about the first time that Jesus tried to drive a nail. He probably hit really hard, but probably not in the same spot more than once, right? And he probably got either his fingers or Joseph's fingers at least once. He was not like a young child. He was a child. Think about God being inside of a boy. And now think about Jesus becoming a man. He went through adolescence. The voice changed, the physique changed, the facial hair coming. All that stuff Jesus went through. Because he was not like a man. He didn't magically pass through puberty. Can you imagine God going through puberty? I mean, that's what he did. And he did it for you and for me. Yet we forget about it. He was not like a man, he was a man. The great and mighty God was a human man in every way imaginable. But he was also fully God. He was fully man, yet fully God. And this is the miracle of Emmanuel. Jesus was fully God, yet fully human. As part of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus is part of the God who has shown his faithfulness to us over and over again. He is part of the God that created the world and the universe around us. He is part of the God who loves each one of us. Jesus was fully God in every sense of the word. Jesus was fully man. Jesus was fully God. But why would God confine himself to a physical body? Why would God confine himself to a birth, a childhood, adolescence, and adulthood? Why would he do that? Why would God take on flesh and bones? Why did he become incarnate? Why did he become like one of us, one of his created creatures? And why did he come without fanfare? Why was he born to a teenage, unwed mother? Why Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? Why choose now to dwell within those of us who believe? The only answer is love. The only answer is love. True love puts another ahead of oneself. And in 1 John 4, it tells us that God is love. God is not like love. He does not resemble love. He's not similar to love. God is love. And when the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy, he was responding to God's love made manifest in the unborn baby of Mary. He was responding to the promise of Emmanuel. And God has given us a way through love to know that he exists and to know that he has done this for us. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the question is very simple. Have you ever loved someone? Have you ever loved someone? And I think all of us can say yes, at some point we have loved someone. We probably have many people in our lives whom we love. And the fact that you love someone else, that you have that feeling of love, have that emotion of love, having that choice of love, is a way that you can know that God exists. It's through the love that you have for others that you can understand and experience God. Because love is from God, and God is love. It's one of the many ways that God reveals himself to us. So the fact that we can love, the fact that we love, is evidence that God exists and that God is love. God had true love for his creation. He has true love for his creation, including human beings. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need to have us as creatures, but rather the act of creation was an outpouring of his nature, of love. Yet how many times have the people that we love hurt us or failed us in some way? Probably more often than we would like, and it's painful. Yet St. Augustine said, better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. God experiences rejection every minute of every day. There are people all over the world that reject Christ and are loud about it. And they're loud about how negative religion is and how negative Christianity is, how negative Jesus himself is. Yet in spite of that, and God knew that was going to happen, and that was happening when God was in the man Jesus, he still chose to come. He still chose to be born as a baby and live a life and then die on the cross for our sins. God's love was made known to us that Christmas morning by coming as the baby Jesus. He became like one of us to show us his great love and to offer that personal relationship for each one of us. Yet coming into the world, Jesus knew his ultimate fate. Jesus knew how this life was going to end. In 1 John 4:9-10, it says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God didn't come as Emmanuel just to live for us and show us a good way to live. He came so that he could die for us. Look at the cross in this picture as it comes down on the manger, because the two events are tied to one another. Jesus as a baby came knowing that eventually he was going to die on the cross for our sins. He knew from the start that being Emmanuel meant a sacrifice. He knew that he would be filled with suffering and anguish and eventually executed by the very people that he came to save. Yet still, knowing that, Jesus, God himself, became like one of us to die in our place. He was the reason Elizabeth's baby leapt in the womb. He's the baby that we celebrate on Christmas. He is the baby who willingly died on the cross for you and for me. And in this act, we see that he truly is love. This is where Jesus fills that gaping hole. Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, loved each one of us that he was willing to be sacrificed for us. He was willing to be mocked and tortured and beaten and crucified for you. In spite of your behavior, in spite of your sinfulness, in spite of your lustful thoughts, in spite of your anger, in spite of your sinfulness, Jesus still chose to come down become a baby, limit himself to a human body, and ultimately die for you. You know yourself better than anyone else. Is that something that you deserve? Do you deserve to have the God of the universe come down and die in your place? The answer, of course, is no, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve that act of sacrifice, that act of love. Yet because God is love, because he became Emmanuel and died and became a man in every way possible except for sinning, he came to show you love and to show you grace. God has become Emmanuel for each one of us. And now we live in a time where when we accept that gift of salvation, God indwells each one of us by his Spirit. That's something to be excited about. Not only did Jesus come as a human being on Christmas, now Jesus has gone to heaven and has sent his Spirit to live inside each one of us. Matthew 28:20 says, I, Jesus, am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Because we don't deserve this, but yet by grace, God has given us this gift. By grace, God has given us Jesus at Christmas time. By grace, God has indwelled us with his Spirit. And grace is something that we don't deserve, something that we can't earn. It's just given to us by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. It is by grace that we have been redeemed, even when we don't deserve it. And it's not something that we should just celebrate at Christmas. We need to be celebrating and remembering this all year long. Because no matter what is going on, God is still with us when we are followers of Christ. God is with us no matter what. When you look into the face of someone else, do you see the image of God in them? Do you see the image of the Most High? Do you realize that gift that God has given each one of us? He created us in his image. He redeemed us. He loves us. He promised salvation to all who accept his free gift of salvation. He wants to enter into a relationship with you. He wants his creation to be saved, to have that relationship with him. And he invites you to meet him. He invites you to love him. He invites you to dwell with him for all eternity. In the book Blue Like Jazz, Donald Miller recounts a story about a covert rescue mission of American hostages by Navy SEALs. When the SEALs got there, they made their way through the dark tunnels, made their way to find where these prisoners were being kept. They'd been there for many, many months. The hostages were terrified at the sight of the SEALs. The SEALs entered the room and heard gasps from the hostages. The SEALs told them that they were Americans and that they were there to rescue them, and that they needed to get up and follow them. But instead of getting up, the hostages just huddled up together and sat there. They were afraid. They thought it was a trick by their captors. They didn't believe that they were there to save them. They didn't believe that they were Americans. And there were too many hostages for the SEALs to just pick them up and carry them out. So one of the SEALs put down his weapon, took off his helmet, and curled up tightly next to the hostages. He was getting so close to them that he was even touching some of them. He softened the look on his face and tried to put his arms around them. He was trying to show them that he was one of them, because none of the prison guards would have ever done that. He stayed there for a few minutes until some of the hostages started looking at him, finally meeting him eye to eye. Then the seal whispered that they were Americans and that they were there to rescue them. "Will you follow us?" he asked. Then he stood up, and one by one the hostages stood up and followed them to safety. The story ends with all of the hostages being rescued that day because one seal got down on the ground with them to show them that he cared for them, that he loved them, that he was not like their captors. Jesus knows that we are captors to our sin. He has decided to come down from heaven, get down on the floor with us, become one of us, and ask us to follow him. The only question left is, will we stand up and follow him? Are we going to choose to believe that he is there for our good and that he has our best interests at heart? Or are we going to remain in our prison cell, a slave to sin, a slave to this world? Because that's the choice that we have. God has come down, become like one of us, become Emmanuel, which is what we celebrate at Christmas, and reaches out his hand and said, "Follow me." What are you going to do? Are you going to choose to follow? Or are you going to choose to stay in that cell? That's the choice that Jesus gives us. He gives us free will. He says, "You get to choose, and I'm going to honor your choice." Will you accept Jesus' call to follow him, to repent, to turn from your sins, and follow him? Some of us may think, "Well, I did that years ago. I did that years ago." But it's a choice that we make every single day. It's not a one-time decision that we say, "Okay, check, done that." It's a choice that we have to come back to every single day. Every time we face a temptation, we have to choose. Are we going to follow Christ, or are we going to stay a prisoner to our sinful nature? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Will we accept Jesus' call to repentance? Will we accept Jesus' call to experience that true and everlasting life and love? The miracle of Emmanuel, God with us, is that God is here for us now, for us to turn to in our time of need, in our time of joy, in our time of celebration, in our time of this pandemic. The only question is, will you? Will you turn to Jesus? Will you stand and follow Jesus? Because that's the miracle of Emmanuel. That's the miracle of Christmas. That's the miracle of Christmas that we should be so excited about. That Jesus is here with us now. He's not dead in a tomb. He is risen again, and now his Spirit indwells each one of us who choose to believe. Yet each of us makes that choice every day. Will we choose the path that God has for us, or will we choose our own path? That's what we celebrate at Christmas, the miracle of God with us, the miracle of Emmanuel.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow him.